What is up, everyone? Welcome into Locked On Kings. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. I am a radio host at Sports 1140 KHDK, the flagship station of your Sacramento Kings. I also work on the Every Kings broadcast with the radio crew, so we have another good one coming up for you. Yesterday, we did a little roster review with Bogey and De'Aaron. We went a little long on that one because Matt and I can talk. It is just me today, no Matt, but we are still going to continue the roster review. We got Buddy Hield, that's me and Matt, and then I'm going to get to a couple of the other players throughout the roster, and enjoy. This is Locked On Kings on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Let's move on to a guy we have both heaped praise on all season and has had just an awesome year, and I think is a future Sixth Man of the Year, Buddy Hield. He's been great. I mean, he had his struggles when they didn't really know where to put him. Yep. And I think part of that is when he's coming off the bench, he just has the mentality, I'm getting buckets. That's what a sixth man is supposed to do. I'm the sixth man now, and that's what I'm going to do. Shot 43% from three, was, I think, top five in the NBA as far as three-point percentage goes. And he's another guy that they traded DeMarcus for, and he struggled in New Orleans. His shot struggled a little bit in New Orleans. As soon as he got to Sacramento, starts knocking down threes. He's a guy that you hear is a shooter, knockdown shooter, and as soon as he got to Sacramento, he's proven that.
Yeah, his growth was probably the most eye-opening out of anybody on this team from last year to this year. You could look at his numbers and the percentages that support that. Offensively, he was a lot more aggressive from three-point range. He struggled starting out the season as a starting shooting guard. So there's two major wish list items I have for him, and we're going to get to those in a little bit. But talking about what he did well, starting off the season, it almost seemed like, and I think this is why Jaeger elected to transition him to an off the bench role, is he was looking for his shot right away, and Buddy is a confidence microwave, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. He is, if the shot's falling, he believes he can make a shot from anywhere, and he can turn into that Leandro Barbosa lights out type player. But if the shot isn't falling, if he starts slow right out of the gate, he could disappear for the entire game. We saw a lot of that at the beginning of the year, almost none of it towards the end of the year with him coming off the bench. I love the fact that his aggressiveness went up. He wasn't afraid to take a lot more shots from three-point range. He's another guy that shined late when the Kings needed him to. And he's such a crucial piece for me, Chuck, because as this team is right now, you can make a little bit of an argument for Bogey, but as this team is right now, in today's NBA, when almost every single team that has that three-point shooting can come back from a nine-point deficit with 2 minutes left, that's something that the Kings have struggled with for a long time. Mm-hmm. A long time. If the game was 8 or 9 points within the final 2 minutes, it was going to be a very, very steep battle for the Kings to try and work their way back into it. Buddy Hield is the guy to me that can change that. I want to see him continue to be aggressive. And ultimately, the most important thing was whether he was starting the game on the bench or in the starting lineup, it didn't matter because he was on the floor at the end of the game every single time.
Exactly. I mean, we argued about, or not argued about, we just, why couldn't he get 20 minutes a game? You know, the first 50 games of the year or whatever. Yes. They obviously bumped it up in the last part of the season, which it should have been all year. But exactly, it doesn't matter if you're starting or coming off the bench. What matters is who's on the floor at the end of the game. And he was always getting those, well, not always, but towards the end of the year, he started getting those minutes. And I think there's a confidence in him from this coaching staff that they didn't have before.
Yes.
Which I don't know what they weren't seeing, but that's not up to me to decide. But he should have been on the floor more. I was glad to see him on the floor. And something that he started improving a lot is his defense.
Yes.
And I love that because he's got bulk. He's 6'4", 215. There's not a lot of players that big in the NBA.
Yes.
He reminds me of Eric Gordon a little bit. Mm-hmm. Former sixth man of the year, sixth man for the Houston Rockets. They're built similarly. He's got some Klay Thompson to him too, where he's built well below the waist. He's got a strong base, and he can D up bigger players. And it was good to see that come along because he's so big that kind of like with De'Aaron, with his athleticism, there are traits that you have naturally.
Yeah.
Buddy Hield's size, De'Aaron's quickness, that you should be able to translate that to defense. And we started seeing that in the second half. And something else we saw in the second half of the year is his ball handling got better. Mm-hmm. It was really bad. It was really bad last year. At the beginning of the year, it wasn't that good either. But it started to get better. He started to understand the gravity that he has out at that three-point line, where a quick pump fake, drive to the hoop, that's an easy bucket for him. And we started to see that towards the end of the year, which is another positive. I'm just really high on his game. And as I mentioned, as far as the hierarchy with this team goes, it's a bogey buddy, for me at least.
I'm so glad you brought up his defense, too, because everybody, when they think Buddy Hield, they think his outside shooting, which is okay, and that's great. And that's no one's going to tell you that's not his number one asset. His number one asset and his go-to, when you think of Buddy Hield, you think of three-point shooting. That being said, defensively, he improved leaps and bounds this year. He got a lot better with his hands, his quick hands of poking balls away and not necessarily just always forcing steals, but just making life difficult as a ball handler. I was very proud of that. He can still be better. You mentioned his base and his Eric Gordon / Klay Thompson type ability. He could still be better staying in front of shooting guards, which is a lot easier said than done in today's NBA.
Yeah,
definitely improve on his quickness in that sense and his foot speed. But I love the quickness of his hands. One thing I can point to for sure that was the shining star for me, and he did it, I think, at least three times this season, get a quick bucket, steal the inbounds pass, and get another quick bucket.
Yeah.
He did that multiple times this season. That just plays into the effort and the heart that he plays with, and he's always looking to make that next play defensively. I love that tenacity. If you can continue to build upon it, really sky's the limit for him defensively. Ball handling, that's my biggest wish list item for him. And if we're transitioning into what I want to see him work on this summer, if he's going to take that next step in his NBA career, and he's just going into his third season, so let's dial it back a little bit. But if he's going to take that next step, he has to be able to create his own shot. That's on the perimeter. That's getting to the basket.
Yeah.
He's so good on the catch and shoot, one of the best in the league with catch and shoot. When the Kings finally started running him off of like Costa Cufo screens, his game started opening up big time. But if you need a go-to scorer, three-point shooter to get you a clutch basket when De'Aaron Fox has two guys on him and you need someone to create their own shot, Buddy Hield can be that guy, and he needs to work on that ball handling and that ability to get to a spot that he wants on the floor and get himself enough space to get that shot off. Because we know when he's getting that shot off and he has a clear look at the basket, there's a very good chance that ball's going to go in.
He, as far as game progression goes, and I know this is an easy comparison, maybe it's because Clay's dad's from the Bahamas, Buddy's from the Bahamas, but they remind me of each other because Clay came in as just a shooter.
Nobody knew about Clay's defense.
His
until
defense,
a couple years ago.
He had terrible ball handler, couldn't finish at the rim, and in his sixth or seventh year, all these things are non-issues now.
Yes.
Great defender, always been a shooter, and something that I've noticed with Buddy this last year, and Clay does well also, is his mid-range game. There are guys who can knock down threes all day, but they step inside that three-point line, and it's like they've never taken a shot before. He's got a solid mid-range game. His shooting overall, not just from three. Like I said, you got guys on the Rockets who can knock down threes or layups, and that's it. He's an all-around shooter, and that's a huge positive.
And if I can jump in here, I love that Klay Thompson comparison, too. That's really the best-case scenario for him is to become that Klay Thompson type player. But Klay Thompson, early on in his career, before he had adapted that ability or developed that ability to play good defense and to dribble the basketball and get to the basket, he benefited by adjusting his game and playing a solid game next to Steph Curry. He was the second splash brother. He was a guy that he took advantage of the space that was given to him because of the successes of Steph Curry. To me, we saw that in flashes with Bogdan Bogdanovic this year. There's no reason why he can't continue to do that if development is slow going into next season. And say he needs another half of a season before he starts to get it in terms of creating his own shot and ball handling. That's where I would love to see the tandem of him and De'Aaron Fox really start to grow and shine.
No question. And, I mean, you've been around him more than I have, so maybe it is the Bahamas thing, but he seems to have a similar attitude as Clay. It's just, I love hoop. That's what I'm here to do. Yeah. And also, I'm mellow. Like, I all the surrounding BS of being in the NBA doesn't really interest me that much.
Yeah. He's a happy...
Just, yeah.
He's a happy guy. He works hard. One of the best things that he said, and I was in the media scrum after the final game of the season, one of the best things he said is they were asking him, what are you going to do this summer? Where are you going to work? Are you going to stay here? Are you going to go back to the Bahamas? He goes, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to go to the Bahamas. Wherever I am, I'm going to be working. It's yep. on us. He said, we're not going to get better, and we don't have the luxury, really, of taking it easy this summer and vacationing every single day. We're going to be getting better. That's the only way we're going to become a better team. And he truly means that and lives by that. So he's going to be spending all of his summer in the gym. And I don't know if he'll play in summer league. Part of me doesn't think he should.
That's the thing.
But by training camp, we should hopefully be seeing a Buddy Hield that's a lot more confident putting the basketball on the hardwood and creating his own shot.
Definitely. So where do you see him going next year moving forward? What would you want to see out of him?
Next year, I would like to see, I think he's going to get a lot more defensive aggression and attention in his face. He's going to get guys that are going to be devoted to forget catching the ball. You're not going to get it in your hands, or you're not even getting an open passing lane. I would like to see him working hard, moving off the ball to get to his right spots, which he improved on this last season. And then when the ball is in his hands and he is getting smothered, ultimately the biggest key for me this year is what can Buddy do with the ball in his hands and with his dribble to create enough space for him to be effective. That's my number one wish list item for him.
On top of that, too, for me, it's creating for other people, because he's going to be a main target, whatever, for defenses. They're going to be zeroing in on him whenever he's on the court. So, all right, if you're getting all this attention at the three-point line, can you figure out who's cutting to the rim or whatever? And I know I keep making the Clay comparison, but that's something he continued to get better at. He didn't have it in his first year. It took him, you know, 3-4 years to get there. Maybe, you know, Buddy can get it quicker. But also, keep bringing him off the bench. Let's not mess with success. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. You can bring him off the bench. He can still get 30 plus minutes. He can still be in at all the big times throughout the game. And there's nothing wrong with coming off the bench either. The ego of starter or not is ridiculous in the NBA. JaVale McGee is starting for the Golden State Warriors. Is he getting any, you know, crunch time minutes or anything? No. Because there are better players coming off the bench.
Right.
So whether you're a bench player or a starter doesn't matter. What matters is the minutes you get and the times that you're in. And he's in at all the right times. And hopefully, I'd like to see him get around 30 minutes a game next year.
Yes.
Defensively, just continue to improve. One of the big things you said is moving off the ball without the ball. Get to your spots. Running off screens, all that stuff to get open looks. I'd like to see him improve at. But part of that is game planning and style of play, and whether they're going to do that or not, that's not up to him.
Yep.
Especially, hopefully they will, just to get the most out of him. But
so the starting lineup thing, just to bring that back really quick, that's one area that we disagree a little bit, because I would love, now it's his summer is going to depend completely on what kind of moves and acquisitions the Kings make this offseason. Because if they brought in another veteran two guard, that could, you'd feel comfortable starting the game with and then having Buddy come off the bench. That's one thing, and that's fine. But I would love to see Buddy, simply because ultimately you were going to want him, be wanting him to play with that unit that is your starting unit. You're going to want him to get consistent minutes with De'Aaron Fox, with Bogdan Bogdanovic, with Willie Cauley-Stein. I would love to see him be able to come out of the gate confidently and have success in the starting lineup. That doesn't necessarily mean that he has to always be the go-to starter, or he can never come off the bench again, because I think he can still be a dominant six man. He proved that in flashes this last season. But personally, I would like to see if he can learn from what the success that he had this year and bring that into a potential starting role next season. That's a wish list item, but ultimately it doesn't kill you. It's like you said, he's going to be on the floor when it matters. I just want to see him be able to play well from the get-go with that starting unit that he's ultimately going to be on the floor with at the end of the game.
Yeah, it's worth a shot. Get your best players on the court as much as possible. I just think we saw him struggle in the starting lineup. Maybe it's a mental thing that he gets over this offseason and, you know, doesn't have that problem. Maybe not. I just think he had his success coming off the bench. But again, it doesn't matter, because he's going to be in when it matters. Welcome back. We just finished with Buddy Hield, and one of the other players I wanted to get to today, we're going to do two more players today, probably another five tomorrow, and then the rest on Friday. These will go a little quicker, because I think the last three we've gone through, De'Aaron, Bogey, and Buddy, I think those are the main pieces of this team. I mean, some people may disagree, But I think those are the three ones that have a future with the Kings. The De'Aaron stuff, it'll be contingent on him improving and progressing. But I definitely think Buddy and Bogey are legit pieces that you want to hang on to if possible. You know, if you get blown away by some trade offer for one or both of them, you know, different story. But I want to get to Scal, kind of doing this as like a starting five. I know Buddy comes off the bench, but, you know, went De'Aaron, Bogey, Buddy, Scal, and then we're going to do Willie as, you know, a starting five potentially. Scal, if we're being honest, it was a disappointing season for the guy. And maybe it's because of our own expectations coming into this year. Maybe we had a little too high expectations for the kid. But even so, he just wasn't, he did not take the steps that we thought he would. And I don't know. Injuries hurt him. He's still a slender kid, still raw, still young. I mean, there's all these things that go with it. Tons of factors when it comes to, you know, young NBA players. I think he just turned 22. You know, 6'11", 225 or something like that. Just really skinny. So I don't know. It was just a little disappointing. The numbers are a little better than you would have thought, but still not great compared to his rookie year. He also didn't get as much time as rookie year, so maybe that's kind of what you expect out of him, a little bit of regression or a larger sample size. You know, he averaged 8.8, 53% from the field, 37.5% from three. That was his rookie year, and that was only in 33 games and 12 starts. This year he played 60 games, 29 starts. Was up from 18.5 minutes his rookie year to 20.7, so about two more minutes added. The problem is his field goal percentage went down to 44, 3-point percentage down to 35, which is respectable for a power forward in today's game, no question. I mean, it's respectable. You still get gravity. You still have to respect it. He's not someone you're just going to leave out there and let him take wide open threes. But I think we all expected better, especially from what we saw as a rookie. Averaged 8.7 points a game. Rebounds were pretty much the same, 4.8 this year. It was fine. It was fine, but not great. Not the progression we all expected. So he definitely, obviously, still has a spot on this team moving forward, at the very least next year. If not, you know, the rest of his rookie contract, we'll see if they decide to pick up his fourth-year option. But you wanted him to lock down that power forward position. And I don't think I'm incorrect when I say he did not do that. He did not do that. He was average. It's definitely a spot they're looking to upgrade. I'll put it that way. And you know, I've started the Aaron Gordon to Sacramento train. I would love for them to go after Aaron Gordon. There's also Julius Randle and Jabari Parker, three different restricted free agents they could probably go after. I think they'd be able to get at least one of them. I mean, I wouldn't want to get more than one, because then all of a sudden you have a logjam at the four. But maybe he is more suited to come off the bench, and maybe that is something that he would benefit from, much like Buddy Hield did coming off the bench. Maybe him coming off the bench, he'll just get the mentality that I need to get buckets, and that's it. But not a great second year. I'm intrigued to see what happens this next year. Can he put on some strength to maybe, you know, become a better rebounder, become a better defender, you know, put on a couple LBs, you know, eat a couple burgers this summer. But I'm still intrigued by his skills. At the very least, the guy can score for a, you know, a 6'11 power forward. And if he can get a little stronger, whatever he needs to do to get better, the length and size that he brings at the power forward position is intriguing. It's very intriguing. Like I said, can he get better? I don't know. But if he can, he's got physical attributes that a lot of other power forwards don't have. So that's something I'd like to see out of him. I would still also like to see, as I've mentioned, you know, Aaron Gordon or Julius Randle to come in and start at the four, have Scal come off the bench, and, you know, hopefully that would be a good change for him. But who knows? Maybe, maybe not. You are listening to Locked On Kings on the Locked On Podcast Network. We are going to finish our roster review today with one last player, three initials, just like ya boy, CTH. So stick around. That's coming up next. Welcome back into Locked On Kings. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. About to talk about our man, Willie Cauley-Stein. Willie C. Stein, I guess, if you want to go. Charles T. Hamilton, Willie C. Stein. Yeah, I know. I'm hilarious, guys. Enjoy that. So we're doing our roster review. We are on to the center spot, the fifth player on this hypothetical starting five for the Kings. And Willie had a pretty good year. I think he's proven over the last 2 years that he is, you know, a solid NBA center, which after his rookie year was, I don't know, kind of questionable. Not really sure where he stood after his rookie year. Last year, he showed some flashes. This year, I think he showed that he's a solid player. I mean, he definitely took a big jump in points per game from his second year, from his rookie and second year. Rookie year, 7. Second year, 8.1. This year, 12.8. Boards also went up. I mean, that also goes with the extra minutes he was getting and, you know, started 57 games as well. Defensively, it's a mixed bag. He can protect the rim, but not in a very imposing way, I guess. 0.9 blocks per game. Would still like to see more out of him there. But the relationship that he built with Bogey on the court is a positive. And maybe it's more Bogey than Willie. You know, maybe Bogey's setting him up better than anyone else was before. But that's still something you need. And I've kind of gone on record with Jason Ross also. I think he's pretty correct about this. I agree with him that, you know, a guy like Clint Capella in Houston putting up great numbers and double-double machine and this and that, I mean, I feel like Willie could do close to that on a better team. You know, if Willie and Clint switch spots, I don't know how different the numbers would be. Like, I think Willie Cauley-Stein would be getting that 14 and 11 like Clint is, and I think Clint might be over here getting, you know, 12 and 7 like Willie is. He's a fine player. The center position I've heard people say it's a dying position. I just think it's a position that's changing, and I think Willie fits the mold of a new age center. If he can kind of pull back on some of that outside jumper that he likes to shoot, and, you know, he doesn't take a lot of threes, but I think he thinks he should be taking some threes, which I would disagree with, but to each their own. He's just incredibly athletic, big. He's got the reach, can fly around. And I also, it's another thing of, if he was in Houston, I think he'd be playing a style of ball that would suit him a little better. And hopefully Jaeger can change some things next year to kind of adapt to some of his players, because he doesn't have the players he had in Memphis. He has guys like Willie Cauley-Stein, who's, you know, one of the fastest bigs in the league. The guy can run the floor like a freaking two guard. You know, De'Aaron Fox has speed like Russell Westbrook. You know, Bogey and Buddy, great outside shooters. That's how you get open looks from three, is in transition. Just things like that. And I know this is specifically Willie, but I think he would benefit from a faster paced game as well. He's definitely going to be here next year, barring some sort of trade. We'll see what happens with Costa. I mean, Willie is the starting center moving forward, no question. And I just don't know what you do with him after next year. That's the only problem. He, depending on how much it would cost to keep him, are you willing to pay? I don't even know. I don't even know the number, because the center spot is changing so much. Like, there's a lot of free agent centers this year that I don't think are going to get any deals. I think the money is going to dry up for the center spot, especially, you know, traditional centers. And even a guy like Willie Cauley-Stein, I don't think he's going to find a big market out there. But if Willie says, you know, you have to pay me $15 million a year to stick around here, I would say, you know, good luck finding that anywhere. But he's definitely the starter next year. What I'd like to see from him next year is just consistency. Maybe more of a defensive presence, rim-protecting presence. If he can add that to his game, I think that would help his chances of sticking around or finding a nice deal after next year, maybe somewhere else. But consistency on top of that is the biggest thing for him, because he would come out, give you, you know, 17 and 12, and then the next game, you know, 5 and 2. It just consistency. And if that's something, I don't know how you become more consistent is the problem. Maybe it's effort. I don't know. And I'm not speculating that he doesn't try or anything. I just don't know how you find consistency. You know, if you need to work on your jumper, you take a bunch of jump shots. If you need to work on your layups, you do that. But how do you work on your consistency? I'm not really sure. But if he can find that, I think it would go a long way in him, you know, maybe getting a nice deal from Sacramento or from somewhere else. But he's definitely the starter next year, and we'll see how that relationship builds with him and Bogey and De'Aaron and whoever else they get who's, you know, out there on the floor with him. Hopefully Aaron Gordon. I keep throwing that one out there, and I'm not going to stop. So Willie Cauley-Stein starting five next year. Let's see what happens. This has been Locked On Kings. Thank you so much for joining me. Come back tomorrow. We'll go through bench players, and then Friday go through whoever is remaining, including some of the two-way guys. We'll get to everyone. Matt George, I believe, is out of town, so I think you just have me for the next couple days, which hopefully means we'll be able to get through it, because Matt and I can talk when it comes to these guys. So stick around. Thank you so much for joining me. Come on back tomorrow. Hopefully you will, because I will definitely be here. Thanks again for listening to Locked On Kings on the Locked On Podcast Network. Peace.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.